What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday.
What's up? What's up?
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com. Bit of a gloomy Thursday, but Open Championship began in the middle of the night, continues on to today. I think we're getting more of the quote-unquote known names teeing off in the last hour or so. That should be exciting. But where I do want to start today, and it's because it's been a major topic, especially on this show, but really around the NFL, has been the second round picks. And we got maybe, Derek, our first real, I think even Adam Schefter's tweet was domino falling in that, and that is Alfred Collins signed his rookie deal. He was a second round pick a little bit later in the second round, taking two picks after TJ Sanders. He signs his deal, and it is not fully guaranteed. It's about 88% guaranteed, but he signs his deal. And now, I mean, that was late at night. That was around 7 o'clock their time, Pacific time, because he's with the 49ers. Here it was like almost 11.
Right.
I think now this morning we could see a bit of an avalanche
Can
here.
Can we see some dominoes fall here?
I think we will, purely because, number one, he isn't fully guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's not, I think, what everyone was expecting. I think most people on the in, and I know Jonathan Jones of CBS was talking about this, most people expected the next domino to fall to be Nick Emmanuori.
I think
Emmanuori's third pick of the second round.
Emmanuori's still probably fighting for full.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that a player later on, what, the 11th or 12th pick of the second round?
43rd overall. So he would have been the 11th pick.
Gets 88%. I think we're kind of falling into a structured place here. What this does is I expect the next domino to fall to actually be Buffalo. A player with a similar position who was picked in a similar range, just two picks above, would you say probably I'm going and trying for like maybe 89, 90%? And the team can easily agree to that?
I think that's where it's going to go. Especially Sanders is the first D-tackle selected in the second round. And then it's Alfred Collins. And that's where not only is it the first domino to fall after the first two picks, it also very much plays into for the Bills. Because let's say, for argument's sake, at pick 40, like it's still in the same range, but pick 40, Tyler Shuck is the next guy to get his contract signed.
Right,
it's a quarterback, and there, in all likelihood, he will probably be starting for them day one. That's not apples to oranges. D tackle, though, to D tackle, and two picks apart from each other, or realistically, one guy between them.
Yep.
I'm kind of with you. I think there's a really good chance we get TJ Sanders news very quickly, relatively today.
Yeah.
Because here's your number. It's about 88% guaranteed.
You know what? You're two picks higher. We'll get you 89%. You're a similar player. You're the first D-tackle taken, and then two picks later, another one's taken, and it's 88%. The team probably goes to, like, you know, we'll do Alfred Collins. And then the agent probably goes, how about 90? And then they go, okay, we're already in the neighborhood. Let's go.
Now, I will say on this, and this was my first thought when I saw it. How does this make Alfred Collins look to the rest of the second round?
I don't know if players would be as resentful as owners if they stepped out of line. For example, if the Bills announced that Sanders gets a fully guaranteed contract, I would be like, yeah, you're if you're Collins, then you're looking at your agent going, come on, man, what the heck? But it would also be the Bills stepping out of line. More than Sanders or Collins. It would be the Bills are out of line here because we just got a deal done with a defensive tackle and it was this. It was 88%. It wasn't fully guaranteed. It's close, but it's not all the way. So if the Bills were to do that, for example, and give a fully guaranteed contract to a player that was picked only two spots before, you know the first team that's punching air? Seattle. Because now you have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're sitting there and it's like now we have no room. And I think that's the thing though with Alfred Collins getting 88. Schefter even points it out, although doesn't say how much last year's 43rd overall pick got in terms of guarantees, but it's 88%, said it's a big jump up from last year. So at least it's moving in that direction.
It's moving in that direction. We all know it's going
to. Now that Collins has broken the dam, you know, for lack of a better phrase, on we all want fully guaranteed deals. You got to wonder second-round picks around him, and including positions like Sanders, how do agents and players feel about that of like, man, we were in this fight together. We were all looking to get fully guarantees. It's why we've been holding out so long.
Players also respect that it is still like it's a business at the end of the day, right. And you want to make sure you get back on the field because that's how you make your money.
And camps are going to be starting here.
When players end their holdouts, it is not because of the fact that they don't want to stick to their convictions. It's because how do you make your money?
Yeah.
It's being on the field. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't know if other players are going to be mad at Alfred Collins or his agency for just getting on the field.
Yeah,
enough is enough. We found a number that we like, and we're okay with it. Also, it's 88% of a guaranteed contract. I don't know if players are going to be like, look at this weenie.
Right.
Taking 88%.
Well, no, but I look at it more as along the lines of like, now I won't get fully guaranteed.
Yes,
because I'm in that same.
Players
that
are
same
far
lane.
Less resentful on that sort of thing than I think that owners would be for starting this whole thing in the first place.
Yeah,
like the Texans, it's
the Texans look like, how could you do this?
Right, and for other owners, that might be okay, cool. Like nobody talked to Nick Caserio for a little while.
Trey Harris, though. He's kind of been the other named guy in this because the Chargers were the first to report. Rookies were first to report to camp. Their vets reported yesterday.
And Harris.
And he has been notably the only guy that has had any reports on he is holding out. That was a big thing,
that's the thing
earlier this week was waiting to see for the other rookies reporting.
Including
is
Sanders.
Anyone officially holding out? So far, and I could have missed something, but so far it's only been Trey Harris. And as you were going to mention, he's at 55 overall. He is well down, in the second round. There's multiple receivers taken ahead of him, including the likes of Luther Burden. And so now for him, I do wonder where he's sitting on all of this of like, okay, because you can even argue too, because he's what, around 10 plus picks away from even where Collins is. Does he have the number set in stone where he wants to go?
Right.
If he was really fighting for a fully guarantee, all leverage is gone.
Yeah.
And that's where I mean by like, are some of these guys going to get upset about this? Harris has sort of put himself out there. He is holding out. And now all of a sudden, he's not going to even get 90% guaranteed. After starting this wanting fully guaranteed, he'll probably now be closer to 75-70, which is still great, but it's not what these guys want.
Yes.
And to be fair, and how I've pushed it most of this week, it's still not a lot of money. I still think it's kind of ridiculous that owners seem to be fighting over very little money in the grand scheme of things for how they're operating these teams. Again, James Cook, we mentioned all the time. This year alone, he will be making more than he has had made in his entire career, and it's like $5 million.
Right.
Jaden Higgins is getting $11.7 million guaranteed. Carson Schwechinger, $11.8 million. It's not a crazy amount of money.
It's not. And when we talked about this earlier in the week, I absolutely was still on the side of the players of, yeah, no, I'd rather see this get done in favor of the players because mm-hmm. Do you know how easy it is at this point to just regain all of your revenue back from the TV contracts themselves? This is pocket change for the owners. But now I look at this and I think, it kind of makes sense. We're getting back to a structure within the second round where it's going to be declining in terms of percentages of what's guaranteed and what's not. I think Alfred Collins signing kind of lets everything get back to a state of normalcy. Like, yeah, all these players are probably going to get a jump from guaranteed money from contracts mm-hmm. of previous years in second rounds. But we're getting back to, all right, it's based on where you're slotted, just like the first round.
Yeah.
Nature is healing. It's not about position. It's about where your selection is.
And so it almost helps, too, that Collins being close to the middle of the second round is the third domino to go, where it's like, okay, now everything can kind of, like the ripple effect, you know, you drop something in water, it kind of ripples out from there.
Yeah, because when you have one and two signing for 100%, where does it go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got 11 slotting in at around 88%. Higher tier. Still in the top third of the round. And now you can, that's the number now to gauge everybody else. I don't think it's all going to happen in like the next 2 days, but by the time everyone reports to training camp, I think that the holdout number will be in the single digits.
I think it is going to move quick though. I mean,
it'll move quick.
Yeah.
Holdout number will be in the single digits.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some that probably try a harder stance. But I think that when you get one player like that who's in the top third, you've got a number now. You can work around the number.
Mm-hmm.
Teams that are picking higher, you now know that you have to go. For example, Evan Worry, that next domino that was brought up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he gets to, is it going to be 100 still? Because you're top three? Or is it 98? And if it's 98, might as well be 100.
Yeah, right. It gives that feeling of like, like, you know, because then it also becomes kind of the same thing we've been saying with the owners. It becomes kind of the same argument with the players. We're like, are we really fighting over what ultimately in 11 point, let's go just down the numbers like that, 11.6 million, you're fighting over like 20, 30 grand?
Yeah.
By year four, where if you hit, who cares about this contract? I just, you know, for Amon Worry, I'm going to become the highest paid safety in football here in a second. You know, if all things go correctly, if all things go well for him. And so, yeah, like there's, I think you're right. I think nature's healing a little bit. It's going to become that kind of pay structure that we've seen in the first round where, yeah, like the top 10 picks, they make more money than the bottom five picks in the first round. Still first rounder. Still get the fifth year option. You still are going to make more money than anybody else in the draft, but, you know, it's not as much as the top 10. It's just, I do look at guys like Trey Harris, who really has kind of put a stand on there. He's holding out. He's the only guy that we've officially seen any of that. And so I'd even argue, too, we've yet to hear any report that, you know, TJ Sanders is holding out. Rookies reported 2 days ago.
Right.
So I almost wonder now, was at worst he going to do a hold-in, which has become kind of the new fashion. Sal brings it up all the time. We don't really see many holdouts anymore. Guys are there so they don't get fined. They're there. They're with their teammates. They're taking part in meetings. They're just not practicing. And I wonder if that's the same with where maybe TJ Sanders is at. And also, good chance there's been rumblings towards this. This doesn't just happen overnight. Agents are talking to each other. They know what's happening. There's probably been a good chance that TJ Sanders' agent has let him know, hey, Collins is going to sign pretty soon. Here's kind of where the number is. We think we can get up to here. Like we mentioned, he's got 88. You were taking two picks ahead of him. You're in the same position ahead of him. We think we can maybe get it to 89, 90. We're going to push for 90. We think 89.
Yeah. Agent probably pushes for 90.
Right. If we get that, great, but expect 89.
Yeah.
It's just, it's
maybe agent pushes for like 92. And the team goes, I mean, we're not that far off, but how would you do with 90?
Mm-hmm. And then everyone leaves happy.
And everyone shakes hands. The player gets out there at practice and everybody sighs a sigh of relief.
I still think the Bills are going to want to get this done and over with relatively quickly.
Yeah, and
with
Hard
Knocks around the corner. And the fact of the matter is the cameras are probably already there because camp starts next week and they'll get some of their B-roll footage and stuff like that. They're coming up with their storylines.
They're already probably trying to find them.
I really sit on this. I don't think the Bills have the appetite. They already don't really want to do this. I'm happy they're doing it because it increases the brand, but you know for a fact they don't want to do this.
They don't want to do this, no.
And so I think the last thing they want is for them to become very quickly the face of the second round holdout. I think that's why last night was so big for that. Because, yeah, do you really have confidence that Terry Pegula and his group would balk or you know, that they would blink first and just pay and be done? Probably not. We know around the owners' meetings, Pegula is very close with Jerry Jones and some of the bigger owners. He has very much become part of the group. And so while I think he would want to, he might have people close to him telling him don't.
Right.
And so that was just my thing, is just how quickly would it go from, hey, Hard Knocks, this is cool, whatever, like we'll get through it, we're fine, to, great, now we're the face every Sunday of our second round pick holding out because we're being stingy with money. That will ultimately be the takeaway from the average audience.
They also
member.
Do have the final say on this.
Mm-hmm.
So then it turns into, what, do we already have to smear our second round picks name through the mud?
Yeah, because you're watching it in your own conference of Shamar Stewart. There were reports yesterday for Shamar Stewart, I think on ESPN. He thought about the idea of returning to college, I think not A&M, but taking an NIL deal somewhere else. I don't know if he can do that. I thought he couldn't, but I at least saw the report, taking an NIL deal, playing this year, and then entering the draft again. He's a first-round pick, but you're already seeing relationships feeling like damage beyond repair.
Gone.
Yeah, already. Now, I think what is funny on that, the clause that he won't sign in his contract, Walter Nolan for Arizona did just two picks prior.
Right.
And so there's also that feeling too of like, is Shamar Stewart completely in the right? Probably not. But also, and we've mentioned this a lot with Cincinnati, you don't get the wiggle room now. You already have a bad reputation with everybody.
You already have someone that you're openly fighting with publicly for years.
Yeah, you don't have
you
the
draft
goodwill.
His replacement, and then now you're fighting with him too.
It's just it's been really almost kind of funny that like for years we haven't had any holdouts. The drafted you know it'll take some time and they go through it, you know, steadily. But for how long have we been telling people, and not just us, but everybody, don't really worry about your rookie not signing yet. It'll get done. And then this year, there's been so much with the Shamar Stewart stuff, the second round pick stuff. It's been everywhere, kind of all at once.
We had a lot of fun talking about college football and what NIL and the transfer portal has meant for college football. I think there's going to be a bleeding in effect to the NFL now, where a player may be willing to hold out. Why? Did that player make a bunch of money in NIL?
Yeah.
And then fell to the second or third round? They made more money doing that than they would on their base salary for their first year of their contract if it's not guaranteed? Why wouldn't I hold out? If I'm a third round pick, for example, third round picks don't really have much of a say, but a second round pick is still a high draft asset. But you got a good NIL deal. Do you feel a little bit more empowered to maybe hold off? Try to get what you want out of this. Because you do have money in the pocket. And it's open now. It's legal.
Yeah, it's not briefcases, you know, left at a certain location for you to go get kind of deal. I'm sorry. That's not real. But, you know.
What are you talking about? I've seen every movie ever, Zach.
The $200 handshakes, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. you ever grease a palm?
Right. So it's legal, and you're right. Like, that all of a sudden does take away, I think, what for a long time most sports had, which was the leverage of, we're holding life-changing money. And many of you are coming from average living. You know, you see, I'm going to make $11 million. That's already significantly life-changing money. And so you would take it. Now, and we're well into the NIL era. It's been a few years now. Some of these guys back in their junior year of high school, were getting endorsements and stuff like that, and have then carried that into college where they were making big money because exactly. College has no guidelines at all. It is just, I mean, spend what you got. Have fun with it. It might hurt you, but spend it. And so, yeah, so maybe that has become a thing too where some of these guys are like, I can hold out.
Will Johnson, a top-tier corner at Michigan,
mm-hmm.
falls due to injury. You probably want to get as much guaranteed money as you possibly can because of his injury status. I would imagine that might be a story of like a lengthier holdout. Donovan Isaraku, the pick right after Alfred Collins. Seen as a potential first-rounder as an edge rusher. Knowing what kind of bank an edge rusher can make.
Mm-hmm.
Try to hold out for that a little bit. See if you can match the percentage on Alfred Collins' guaranteed money. There's enough that you could draw your lines in the sand. Ready? The Bengals at the 17th pick, 49 overall, with Demetrius Knight. Negotiating with Cincinnati is like pulling teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody around you has signed, so what's the gauge?
Yeah. You don't know.
The best measurement you have is 6 picks prior where Alfred Collins is taken.
Mm-hmm. But it's a different position.
Do the Bengals suddenly try to turn that into, no, you're that much further down, we're paying you like 70% guaranteed.
Well, so,
the number's nowhere close.
But yes, that becomes a thing too of like, for us it's a little bit easier as Bills fans. Alfred Collins is the same position as TJ Sanders, picked in the exact same area. It's easier to kind of gauge it.
2 picks. The Bills are probably one of the sooner dominoes to fall than others.
I agree.
You think there's going to be a flood within these next 2 days? I don't. I think the flood happens within the next 6 days when a lot of teams are going to start reporting to camp.
So you think it might be like those first day or two of camp?
First day or two, or as players are arriving.
Mm-hmm.
As the veterans are arriving, the rookies are getting ready, and they don't want to lose the jump. They don't want to lose a step when the practices are real. And that's when you do it. Day one and day two. That's when it's really going to happen next week. So we're looking at probably what? Tuesday through Thursday next week?
About that, yeah.
That's probably the gauge I'm looking at.
I think more just the next 4 days into the weekend. Rookie's already there. No one else is there. Your representative's probably here. And it really, for me, Collins is signed late last night. It just takes 2 or 3 in that same range, signing today or tomorrow, for all of a sudden to get the ball rolling. I'm like, okay, we have our number. This is what we want.
Yes.
And you'll haggle over a little bit because that's what negotiations are. I get it.
Definitely no teams are paying attention.
I think
though.
It'll go a lot faster just because of if it was Emin Wari that signed.
We have a mystery.
But I would be more with you where it's like, I think it'll be closer now to when training camp starts. I think because it's in the middle, it's that ripple effect of everyone's kind of getting their number.
If Emin Wari was next and the number was still 100% on guarantees, we're probably looking lengthy. We're looking into training camp for several players, and we're probably talking about maybe 10 days in
mm-hmm.
when there's still someone unsigned. Like we're getting to our first preseason games. Threatening.
Yeah.
And I don't see that now. I think that, at least for the Bills, this is going to be probably the sooner and easier sort of contract to do.
And the nice thing, too, is it's not like Sanders has been not participating in anything else. I mean, like up until this point, you can almost forget that Sanders hasn't been signed. He spoke with the media at Mandatory Minicamp or Rookie Camp. Like, he's been participating. He's been there.
Now, question for you. What do you think of the situation if the Bills are one of the few teams that doesn't have this done
by next week. Oh, I don't like it at all. I I've brought it up for a few reasons. One, of course, is the Hard Knocks. Are you really prepared? And especially if we've got the whole run here.
Yep.
And then Hard Knocks debut. Now you are truly one of the stingy, let's go 10, who have not done it.
Right.
And then it becomes an even bigger story. I just don't know if they have the appetite for it. If they do, I mean, respect for keeping your eyes open. It's a staring contest, I guess.
They is not, like, I would imagine that it's a select few people that have an appetite for it because the coach will be punching air.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's going to be all part of the, Pegula, and I imagine you got an inner circle that kind of helps you out with the business decision, stuff like that.
It'll be a select few people that are okay with it because players probably not okay with it at that point.
And so on that's my second point, too. You're going to have coaches, management, and the player pissed. They're going to be upset. And they want to get going.
And as a player, you have Deion Walker in your same draft class.
Well, you have Deion Walker in your same draft class, but I look at it, too, as the coach. We had to make all these investments to get our defensive line better. We made the investments. Mm-hmm. And now the big one that we went for, we traded up for.
Aggressively.
You're holding us back for what will ultimately be just a couple hundred thousand dollars at the end of the contract in year four.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where you will burn relationships a little bit. Because it will be, we traded up for this guy. He's a big part of what we want to do on this revamped defensive line.
We went 15 spots in the second round.
And now we can't bring him in, even though he's been here the whole time. He has been a great rookie up to this point for them. Because he's been there at rookie camp, been there at mandatory minicamp, hasn't made any fuss. Nobody has, but you get my point. And then come training camp, all right, it's full go now. Till the end of the season, we're at a standstill because... And again, in this situation, they'd
the
be one of
save a couple bucks.
And in this situation, they'd be one of like 10 who have not done it yet.
Yeah.
In a Super Bowl window, it's a hard sell to fans as well. Fans typically will go towards the team and not the player, especially a guy they don't know. I think very quickly that would be the flip. And I'd also say that too, if you're a Sabres fan, there is some bad blood there between Sabres fans and ownership.
Yes.
And so you will have that feeling as well that I don't think ownership has got a good appetite for that, and they shouldn't. I'm not saying that as a negative.
And that's
I don't think
saying,
they should.
Especially because Collins is the first one to sign outside of the first two picks.
Mm-hmm.
The blueprint's there for the Bills to be very quickly done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering what happens if they don't, and where did it go wrong?
803-0550, the number to call. We also had the top 10 cornerback list come out today from ESPN. Some interesting thoughts on that. Plenty more coming up until 12 o'clock. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We have the Open Championship in Northern Ireland on our TVs. Derek, I will tell you, I debated, not hard, but there was a slight debate of staying up for the first tee time. It quickly went away.
What time was that at?
It was like at 1:10 in the morning.
Yeah, no.
I was like, I have to be up early. Oh. By the way, we just saw a chip from Scottie Scheffler that
missed the
inches from going in.
Maybe just like two.
Maybe.
It might have been like right next to it.
His comments the other day with the media, I talked a little bit about him last night in the nightcap. I'm enjoying this era that we have of sports where athletes are far more open and honest. I pushed back a little bit on guys like Nikola Jokic at the time when he won the NBA title with Denver and kind of almost seemed annoyed that he had to do like any media and any celebrations for the title. Like he truly just wanted to go back home to his horses. Mm-hmm. And I gave him a little crap about it. But the longer we've gone on, I've really enjoyed like the difference in athlete. You have your insane competitiveness where you win a championship and your first thought after celebrating is, all right, when's the next one?
Right.
We got to get back to work. But then I also do appreciate the guys who, like Scotty, maybe a bit too aggressive when he says, like, I don't really want to be an inspiration to the young generation, that kind of stuff. But, like, talks about legacy, and he's like, it doesn't really mean anything. A part of me, you know, I almost wanted to push back on it, but I got there last night where 50, 60 years from now, he may not be that far off on his take of, like, how much will legacy actually matter.
It also kind of tells you how different people are.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people that do care about what their legacy is, what their impact is on society,
yeah,
and
yeah.
being remembered.
Mm-hmm.
that requires a lot of ego. So what that does for me with Scottie Scheffler is it says he's not an ego-driven player.
I think he gives off the vibe of, I do this because I'm good and I do enjoy it.
And that's the thing, is that there are some people that do it like that. There are people like that that are hardwired in a way where it's not ego. It's not about having to be the best. Mm-hmm. It is knowing that you are good, you are enjoying yourself, or maybe it's that you know that you're good, you're not enjoying yourself, but you also know that this is your skill set.
Well, how often do we hear that in like every sport come draft time? Does he really like blank sport?
Does he love the game?
Or is it just a job to him? We hear that all the time.
You brought up Jokic.
Yeah.
Jokic is really good at this. He doesn't seem to enjoy himself at all.
Yeah, he seems to... The 82-game season and how long the playoffs are, I think, honestly kill him inside. Because he is an intense player. I mean, that OKC series, he is basically willing Denver to be in it. But yeah, by the end, he's kind of like, I'm so done. I am shot. I'm ready to go home.
But also, it's very relatable
mm-hmm.
in a sense. Who's really good at a job and hates it? Somebody you know.
Almost definitely.
Not even almost definitely. You know somebody who is working their job because they are good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. They hate their coworkers.
Their boss sucks. But they're good
their
at their job.
Their boss's cheeks. And you just know, like, this is the paycheck, and I'm going to do what I really love outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be family or interests or hobbies of that sort. Like, I do what I do, gnash my teeth together,
mm-hmm.
and then get home and enjoy myself. This is strictly for being able to survive, and I make money to do it. And I'm good at it, so I'm going to stay doing it. You know somebody in your life that is like this. Somebody. Because all the time you'll get the questions from family. Why do you do this? Why are you still there? You should go leave. Mm-hmm. No, I'm good at this.
They pay me a lot of money.
They pay me money because I'm good at this and I hate it.
My benefits are great. Not going to get a better offer. And yeah, so like you look at
guys. I can take care of myself and others. Like,
yeah, you look at guys like in golf, like Scottie's number one in the world. He's one of the biggest names. Like, he's getting paid a lot. He is setting up his family for success. That's why he keeps doing it. But even other guys, Xander Schauffele right now, like we're getting a look at him. He joked, he doesn't know where his Olympic gold medal is. He doesn't know where it is. Now there are other athletes. That is blasphemous.
Yeah.
And even to some fans, the idea of that is insane.
To me, that's blasphemous. Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. Now, I think golf especially maybe gets this stigma. Golf, for a lot of people, is that leisure activity that they do when they leave the job they don't like.
Correct.
And so to hear somebody like Scottie where you're paid to play a game, it can come off a little, I think, just weird and maybe tone deaf. But the way I look at it too, and really it's with every athlete, it's not a game to them though. They are doing strength and conditioning
coaches. It is their job.
It is their job. He is getting up at 5 in the morning to go to the course to work on things. And sometimes things don't work, so all of a sudden now he's frustrated. And when you are a guy like Scottie, and this is any athlete at the high end of their game, you breathe wrong and you're criticized for it. You know, Scottie Scheffler, Brian Koziel brought this up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Scottie Scheffler could finish 6th in the tournament and think he had a great weekend. Did awesome. But we'll all sit here and go, Scottie Scheffler didn't finish in the top 3. He didn't win. I mean, this is a failure. And that can grate on somebody.
Stanley Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
Connor McDavid doesn't have 2 points per game.
Yeah.
What went wrong?
Yeah, what went wrong?
Is he in a slump? Like, the measurement that you hold the highest of athletes at is also why that money is there. It is money that we will never fathom. It is because you are the center of attention, whether you want to be or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to deal with it. You have to talk to the media. You have to talk to people all the time.
And you kind of can't be in a bad mood after a bad finish or people judge you.
Yes. You can't have the normal emotions that a human being has after a loss or you are judged for it. Cam Newton, upset, makes what everyone calls the quote-unquote business decision in that Super Bowl. Eventually, he has enough. And he leaves. It's one of the funniest, ways a person has left a presser before, but LeBron James gets a question, doesn't like it, grabs his
gone.
grabs
his bag and he's
grabs his bag and he's out of there. Like
It's still one of the funniest like images. But again, you get judged for that though. I think it's funny. Tons of people in that media pool were probably like, how dare he?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opinion that people within the media will then tell people on how to think of this, what to think of this. I may consider myself a relative nobody in the grand scheme of things, but I do know that my voice carries.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say something, it could be irresponsibly laid out into the masses, and I could think nothing of it. And that's why you want to make sure that what you're saying is what you're saying. Why I want to be real, for example. But the media paints a picture about an athlete as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you don't have in the 9-to-5 for a lot of people? That.
You ultimately have your core group, and that's about it.
You have a core group and like people that you within your work that think of you in a certain light. And whether that's fair or not fair is a topic for another day. But players do have other people telling everybody what to think about them. If I hear Scottie Scheffler saying, I'm not worried about being remembered in 50 years, I understand. Sports are still, at the end of the day, played by human beings. There are human emotions to everything.
I think he's just also right. One athlete I can think of who has passed on, who's not alive anymore, and is still revered and known throughout the sports world forever. Babe Ruth, who played at a time no one remembers that is alive right now, and yet doesn't matter. He is still in those conversations as the greatest baseball player of all time. You have other Jackie Robinson in that same sport is alive, but for also very different reasons. And it's also later on in lives where there are still some people out there. The numbers is less and less, but who watched him? Babe Ruth, no one alive watched him play,
right?
And they can remember it, and yet he is still revered. And so I think when Scottie does say that, though, I think he's just right. We all get to a point where that great player is forgotten. Basketball. How many GOATs, honestly, have we gone through in like a 70-year period? 4 or 5?
And that's like basketball media has gotten to.
Only recently, though. Only recently.
I know.
But you can go. Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. And, you know, now it's a little bit different, but that's just one sport. Joe Montana doesn't even get to totally enjoy his retirement as I'm the greatest quarterback of all time before Brady comes on the scene. And even then, even if you don't love him, Peyton probably has a lot of people's votes.
And then you had someone who started his career on a more aggressive follow-up than Brady.
In Mahomes.
Mahomes was on an incredible beginning to his career of just going to Super Bowls and winning them. And you're like, oh, great. So here we are. Like, the baton was immediately passed. We don't get a cool-down period here.
And then in 30, 40 years, we'll have very few people that have ever watched Montana play for the 49ers. 49ers fans will still love him and revere him. But nationally, he'll become somewhat forgotten, if not completely forgotten.
And that's something where, like, what Scheffler says makes a lot of sense. Recency bias really does take a lot of conversations away.
Mm-hmm.
Will Scheffler ultimately be remembered? I don't really worry about that. If he's not going to worry about it,
I think he probably sits there and goes, well, if I don't touch Tiger's major totals, probably not. Probably won't be. I'll just be really good for my era, and then everyone forgets about me in 20 years.
And that is something that some people can be comfortable with. Good for him. That's ultimately what I'd say. Good for you.
I really like that. I like how open and honest he is about it. It's different, and I've liked that about...
It's jarring.
Yeah.
A little bit. Like, some things that he says might, you know, rub people the wrong way. Again, everybody's wired differently, and that's just more of an example of that, where Scheffler is willing to admit those sorts of things, like be open and vulnerable about it.
Yeah.
And then in hockey, you get the same robot answers.
Well, hockey's going to be one that in... I think hockey, though, might be one of those other sports that in 50 years, Gretzky is still going to be...
talked about in that same reverence. I think he will be.
Please fix my favorite sport.
Yeah, they don't want to be fixed. 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Wrapping up hour number one here on the North Sound Automotive Extra Point Show. Derek, we've been talking uniforms a lot this week because a lot of NFL teams have unveiled new uniforms.
They have.
It's been a lot of fun.
We've even had some fun with the new era video that the Bills and Josh Allen were involved with.
That was a helmet phone, right? I saw a full picture. Okay, good. I was glad I nailed that.
Jeremy White nailed it. The phone that is sitting in here should be a helmet phone. The phone in there?
Yes.
Josh should be answering a Bills helmet phone. Like
for logistical reasons, I need to know how it feels when you pick it up.
Agreed.
You'll get used to it.
Being the person that answers phone calls, agreed.
You'll get used to it.
I will say, though, that's something I deeply miss about the draft is when it was at New York
helmet
City.
Helmet phones.
Helmet phones. Everybody had one. It was kind of
give
this,
me the
it,
Bills
it was
helmet
dorky.
Phone.
It was weird, but I kind of loved it.
Give me the Bills helmet from draft day. I don't even need the red one. Give me the draft day prop.
They were wearing the white helmets at that point, right?
Yes.
Yeah, then we're fine.
Give me the Bills draft day helmet phone prop.
Yeah, but on uniforms,
anyone that listens, that's part of the old draft day set. Your movie was fantastic, and I want your helmet phone.
I'm not saying that. On uniforms, though, and this is something I've noticed, I had to say something yesterday. So college recruits, oftentimes they have a graphic designer, somebody helping them that releases images when they commit to a school. Mm-hmm. You know, UB has this too. Like commits that go there get all their jerseys. And typically the commits usually end up in the all-black uniforms. They look really good.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I've seen this for a number of Georgia recruits, and I saw it – and yesterday was just the line. It was a linebacker, Nick Abrams, committed
exactly
to Georgia.
Exactly where you were going with this.
I've seen the black jersey. I've seen the all-black look. I've seen the white helmet. I've never seen them together except on these, you know, graphically designed images for commits to recruit, commit to.
I wonder if that's not a mistake.
I've seen it too much. Right. It's not one guy. It's multiple.
What I'm saying is that's not a mistake. They're wearing it this year.
I don't know. This has been like 2 or 3 years, and I always look. So I'm like, they haven't worn this. No, they've not worn this.
Wear it at practice?
No, because I think black jersey would just be for the quarterback. It's the same with Texas. It's a black jersey that they wear.
I'm trying here. Is it a spring game thing?
No, I think this is 18-year-olds going, guys, you have a sick look here that we're not using. And that's my thing. It's the white helmet and just an all-black jersey. Yeah. It looks incredible.
Zach.
And it's only recruits that commit that use it for like their little graphic design. It's so good.
Again, my bet is you see more of it, they're going to use it.
I don't think it's happening this year. If it is, great. But
it might be.
No way.
College football teams do not announce when they have new uniforms.
I think
or new combos.
I was gonna say Oregon is the only one that does it, but they do it like a week before they wear them.
Yes.
Like they just announce on Monday, here's what we're wearing on Saturday.
What's our look?
And everyone's like, all right,
ready?
Pink's not our color, but sick. That's how it goes.
Light blue, okay.
Like, all right, that works. I thought we were neon green and yellow. Okay, sick.
Yeah, Oregon is great. Their amount of uniform combinations is unparalleled.
I mean, it's just a bunch of mad scientists at Nike. That's it.
Yeah, Nike just goes, we're bored. What do we want to put together for a uniform?
We give a lot of credit to the Ducks, but I assume it's a room of like six guys that never go home just coming up with uniform combinations.
You know what
like
it is?
Scientists.
They're also combined with kids that are interns at Oregon.
Same difference. Mad scientists.
And they collaborate with the mad scientists that are paid employees, and they figure out what are the Ducks going to wear this weekend? And there we go.
I can see somebody after 4 hours.
It's like a certain pizzeria debate around here where they just like effectively come up with the craziest idea that they can for a pizza.
I assume after like 4 hours of deliberation and debate, one 25-year-old just slams his hand on the table and he goes, orange! And that's it. And everyone's like, yes. We'll do it.
Or it's that meme of like two people pitching something in a board meeting and the third one says something like normal and he gets tossed out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone says green or yellow, it's thrown out to the streets.
Pink, light blue, and orange. How about we just go with our normal colors?
I will say though, with college uniforms in particular, There are some schools I love when they do that. Oregon. We're making fun of them, but I really like that Oregon's identity has kind of been like random jerseys. But there are also certain schools I also love that they have kept it as routine as humanly possible.
And there are some teams that are rife with tradition and they stay to it. You look at the Big Ten. Even the new schools that are Big Ten, USC does not change anything.
They don't
about
even have nameplates.
It's iconic, though.
Yeah.
Penn State, not a change to their uniform structure. Even,
I think only
even
the helmet,
point,
you might have a number, and it's a throwback, and that's it.
And but then, even to a point where the hockey team...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views, the cool waterfall mist during a hot hike, and the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors, with more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Team uses the same uniform structure.
Mm-hmm.
You think about like Ohio State, they've made changes along the way, but the base is still the same to the point where the stickers have to be there.
SEC is a lot like this too.
The SEC
Auburn has two jerseys. Auburn, Alabama has two jerseys. LSU has their
LSU
white
has
helmet.
Stylistic differences, but
they got their white helmet.
But the core of it is pretty much the same. Michigan.
Yep, for the most part.
Goodness, for heaven forbid if you change a single thing about the Michigan uniform, I would throw a table.
And then
Florida.
It's not Big Ten. Florida. Well, Florida's changed theirs a
Florida's
little bit.
Changed
they've got the black alternate
sometimes,
stuff
like that. But like it's still very recognizable. Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're pretty much
Oklahoma
what they
does
are.
The same. Like, you know, most teams have the alternate stuff now.
Texas. They've got two uniforms.
Yeah, Texas has two uniforms. That's it.
Yeah, I like that about college. But then, of course, there are certain schools that change it up. Oregon.
Boise.
Boise, for the most part. I mean, they've got their black alternates, too, but for the most
part.
They have
black, but they also have a lot. They've been working orange in, too.
Yeah. But then, like, Ole Miss, they changed it up a lot, too. Like, they're no longer just the dark blue. I think even their main one now is their powder blue. And then Notre Dame. I don't love Notre Dame, but one of my one of the traditions I love, they add the nameplates for bowl season.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. That looks good. But yeah, USC is also a good one too, where like as big of a program as they are,
right?
They have never had nameplates.
Yeah.
They have kept that as is. And so, yeah, as much as I like the NFL one, it's also that college part of me that gets worried about the Bills of like, don't botch this because you already have great look.
Should we doodle on the bet board of likeliness that Georgia wears that white helmet, black uniform combo?
I don't think they might do it eventually. I don't think this year.
They keep putting it into the minds of people, though.
I don't think they want to. I think the commits are doing that because, like, this is sick. It looks awesome. We're going to roll with it.
Whereas Georgia is a team that historically likes to keep the same structure.
They keep the same structure, yeah.
But they have these things. They exist. Use them.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. One more hour with us here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
What is going to be interesting is what happens with the third pick of the second round and then from then on. And so you will continue on down that. How many of these guys can or will get fully guaranteed contracts, and how many of them will agree to certain deals that maybe it was better than last year, but it's not 100% moving forward. So teams don't want to set precedents. Agents certainly want to set precedents because that helps in recruiting materials that they can send out to get more and more athletes in the future. But it's always great if you can get these rookies on the field. There's still a week, but everyone's waiting on what that guy above them is doing before they press play on their plan.
Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports. That was said yesterday.
Before.
And it, yeah, that's the thing. It was said yesterday in the morning. And it's where we were all kind of looking at to Nick Emmonwori. He's the next guy. What's going to happen? But it also kind of went the way Jones was talking about. How it essentially, once some of these guys got deals that weren't necessarily 100% guaranteed, we might see a more of a ripple. The assumption, though, was you were going to go down the line, and that was how it was going to maybe work. It didn't. Instead, Alfred Collins, if you missed it, last night signed his rookie deal with the San Francisco 49ers. He's picked two spots after TJ Sanders of the Bills. And for his contract, it is a four-year, $10.3 million deal. Includes $90 million of that guaranteed, which is good for 88%. And so now it is a bit of the waiting game. Again, this is on the Pacific Coast, obviously with San Francisco. So when it was signed, I think at like 10:30 last night in the East, it was around 7-ish, 7:30-ish on the West Coast. Now we're kind of waiting to see who the next domino is to fall. And they're not all going to be dominoes. I am of the belief it's going to be kind of a group of them that all kind of go around the same time. I do think the Bills with TJ Sanders, because Collins plays that same position, will be a part of that first group. But I do think it could be kind of quick because now we all have kind of that middle ground number. We have the top. And Derek, like you pointed out in the first hour, it'll move a lot like the first round in that sense where there's a pay scale for where you're picked in your round.
And it's also that like the 11th pick of the second round is still on a higher tier there, 88% of guaranteed money. It kind of allows for the rest of 3 through 10 to fill in appropriately from 100% fully guaranteed to 88%. We'll find out what starts what.
Mm-hmm.
But in that clip, you hear, what's the guy above me do? And then we go in with our game plan. The good news is that there is now someone other than Nick Emmonwori's agent that can have that answer.
I think without even realizing it, yeah, like because Higgins and Schlesinger were signed relatively, I mean, I think it was like the next day Schlesinger was signed after Higgins. And it was somewhat early into the signing process for a lot of these guys. It has been a lot of people kind of just waiting on Emmonwori.
So it's Seattle. It's the problem.
But, you know, are they really? Again, like that clip mentioned it. Jones mentioned it. Owners don't want to set precedents. Agents do. And so after 1 and 2 in the second round.
That's their job, baby.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. After 1 and 2, get the 100% guaranteed. Why would Emmonwori at 3 back off of it?
Why would his agent back off
of it? Especially, well, the second overall pick in the second round got it first.
Yeah. So this is standard fare. That's what it's looking like.
And so, yeah, it's changed pretty rapidly, and it is because a guy like Alfred Collins, it was not the third overall pick in the second round. He is in the middle of the second round. And he's not even the first of his positions to be signed in the second round. That would have to be TJ Sanders. And that's where I do think for the Bills, it could be a pretty quick move after this, because a guy of his position right around him got signed already. And it's 88% guaranteed. We've mentioned it. 89, 90 is probably in Sanders' range. Great. It's still a lot of money. And it quickly becomes for both sides. Are we really going to cause you to miss reps in training camp starting next week over a few hundred thousand dollars in year four of a contract? And so that's the thing now, is how quickly does this start ramping up? I think it could be very early today that it starts going.
And again, the Bills probably have a chance to help break this open, because a player that's picked two picks after them at the same position that they made a selection with, all you got to do is be a little bit higher than 88% guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Done. You look at the contract details and you go, okay, we could work with this. And then you get other players now that would be affected by this, mm-hmm. especially, most importantly, Mason Taylor, the Jets tight end.
That poor guy's just sitting there.
He'd be just like, okay, well, I guess we're done here. But also, Tyler Shuck. If the Bills get done, the Saints, and one of the bigger second-round hurdles that there is up next.
And I thought they were in a bad negotiating spot because of how their quarterback room has shaken out. Derek Carr retiring. You took Shuck in the second round, I think, with most people assuming to start this year. And so for
at
him,
some point,
and yeah. And so for him, his negotiation would be, I'm going to be your starting quarterback. Why would I not have a fully guaranteed deal?
Yeah. And especially because of the fact that, like, as the quarterback being taken, though, you might also recognize, like, as an agent, you might recognize this is a bad roster. They're going to move on from you after year one. We're going to get as much money as we can.
Bingo. Exactly. So I think they were put in a cost
bad
of business spot.
Yes.
In how they wanted to do this. And they may have been just in a better spot to just do it and deal with it, but they're in so many cap problems. I think they don't want to do any of that.
They don't want to do any of it.
Even though I think it would be absolutely a better move for them.
But if the Bills get this done, that's the next major hurdle that has to be cleared, is Tyler Shuck.
Mm-hmm.
Shuck, I think Harris with the Chargers, with Trey Harris, is one of those big ones, because he's like the open holdout. The other most interesting one, I think, because of what has happened with him and the situation he's now put himself into, is Judkins.
Yeah.
Why would I want to give a bunch of guaranteed money if you're already getting in trouble?
I'll be honest. He has now become somebody I'm not even putting into this box of the second round. And that sucks for Cleveland. But, he was arrested.
Yeah.
And so I think that's become almost an entirely different conversation of,
why would I give you any guaranteed money?
Anything.
And like that's another one that could break the system right there.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns being in a situation of breaking the system. Who would have thought? Whether it's their fault or not.
They were one of the teams, though, that had two second-round picks, and in relatively quick successions, 33 and 36.
Chicago, I'm kicking the dirt.
They have three, right?
Yes.
Yep, and Burden also has already actually missed reps, not because he was holding out. He's been dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
So where most of these rookies haven't missed any reps, I think most of them have been at rookie minicamp and the mandatory minicamp. There hasn't really been any issues there. Chicago has been dealing with that, at least with Luther Burden, with his injuries. And Ben Johnson has openly lamented that, of how important it is for these guys to be on the field in their rookie year. I mean, especially how fast the rookie years move. You go from literally the end of your college season into draft process to the draft. And there's no slowdown period. There's no time where you can breathe.
Also, the situation with Mike Green is one that I would watch with vested interest.
Was he a second-round pick? He was, yes.
Green
he was
fell
right,
through
he was
the
right
second.
Yes, I thought he'd gotten to the third. That's my bad.
Baltimore took him with the second-round pick. That's one that I would want to watch because of the situation he's dealing with. He's also at the end. He's closer to the end of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So you could look at it that way. There's a lot that you look at here and think, it's good that there's a domino that fell, but this still makes 29. How is it going to bend out over the next week is going to be the biggest question in all of this.
Yeah.
That's where I would want to look at this. And with this all being so unprecedented with how late it is and how an entire round almost is still left unsigned, for one player to help try to change the narrative a little bit or even just give us more to talk about on it is a bigger deal than not. But you look at some of these problem spots of like Judkins, Shuck, Harris, and Green based on either situations or legality. But I think of Harris as the one that's publicly stated as like the holdout, and Shuck being the projected starter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two are just, you know, you've got some legal concerns that we should be really worried about.
Yeah.
I also think that Will Johnson's one that I would want to watch with a vested interest because you want to make sure you get that.
His injury guaranteed history. Money. His injury history. I mean, that's why he's not one of the.
That's why he's not a first rounder.
I mean, honestly, we got there on draft night too because we were talking a lot about Will Johnson and we all kind of had that feeling the Bills would go corner, and his name came up. We're just like, I mean, talent wise, he's the guy. But we all kind of had that same realization, me, you, and Nate Geary, that once the Chargers didn't take him, it was like, oh, okay, his college coach didn't take him, maybe because of injuries. And then, of course, the Bills end up passing over him. They take Max Hairston. But, yeah, I mean, there's a few guys in here that are going to be looking for guarantees because, hey, either Tyler Shuck, I'm on a bad football team. You're probably going to have to move off. You're probably going to move off of me. I want to make as much money as possible.
That's a hard stance to be on.
Injuries. And then other guys, Mike Green, twice accused of sexual assault, once in high school, once in college, caused him to transfer from the University of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And he falls out of the first round almost kind of, it seemed, solely because of that. And almost out of the second, almost because of that. Because he was dominant at the Senior Bowl. He looked great.
He looked incredible. But teams really did not like what they found out, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, because he is the fourth pick and a team that already gave guaranteed money to the first pick of the third round, Cleveland with Judkins. And I really think that one's going to be a long-term issue. But then if I look at Miami's pick, New England's pick immediately after, this guy hasn't signed yet. Why can't we hold strong?
Yeah.
There are unintended consequences to the Judkins situation. And even Emmanuori. Because Emmanuori might be a guy that would want to ask for that guaranteed money. But say Cleveland gets something done with Judkins first for some strange reason. And it's not all this guaranteed money because of what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuori's suddenly in a weird spot. But Seattle absolutely should want to make sure that this guy is on the field. Rangy, talented player like that, you want to make sure he's not raw.
But a raw prospect.
That's
the thing, too. Yeah. And that's maybe the most interesting thing of the second round guys. You will get a lot of super talented dudes, but that are raw.
They're unrefined. They
need more reps, unrefined. Emmanuori fits the bill. Emmanuori, I mean, we all talked about him a lot.
Emmanuori was
process,
a threat to be a first rounder.
Almost entirely based off his athletic profile. Not because you're like, oh, he's stalwart safety, no worries. That was Malachi Starks. Emmanuori was, he might just be the best athlete of the draft. You can't really afford to have him miss a ton. I bring it up, too, because even looking at the second round last year, look what happened with Cole Bishop because he missed 2 weeks due to an injury.
Yeah, he fell behind.
He never caught up. And for some of these teams, too, it would be the same thing of the guy just never catches up. Might be talented, but just didn't pick up reps, slowly building into it. All of a sudden now, if it's a lengthy holdout, you're jumping in when pads get brought in, so there was no like ramp-up period here. And you can get left by the wayside very, very quickly. It's one thing that I look at with Landon Jackson for the Bills, a third-round pick who is signed, but was put on PUP earlier this week when rookies reported. By all reports after that, it seemed to be it's not anything major. It's more precautionary. The hope is he'll be ready to go by practice. But if he's not, already now one of your pieces on the defensive line, you may have to sit there and go, ugh, we'll see. Because just last year, in a safety room that arguably needed a lot of help, they could never convincingly go to Cole Bishop because of how far he had fallen behind due to an injury picked up.
Right.
Now you look at some of these guys, and this is where we've talked about how quickly will these coaches and executives get really irritated because they went up in the second round, they got these guys.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, again, as I've mentioned a few times, just a few thousand dollars at the end of the fourth year, that's what we're going to fight over.
Right.
So that we're not going to get this guy in the field. And the Bills, of course, are really one of the bigger ones because they trade up big to go get TJ Sanders.
He is 15 spots.
I would imagine a pretty integral part to the rebuilt defensive line. And so if he's not signed quickly, there will be irritation, I think, across the board from the organization. Because it's, why? What are we doing? We're in the middle of a Super Bowl window. Let's go. For Seattle, Emin Wari, we're building this lengthy, athletic secondary. Emin Wari might be the last piece of that. With Weatherspoon and Woolen already a part of that at cornerback.
Yes.
They've got such a lengthy defense. What are we doing? And they have a defensive coach as well. So he's probably sitting there going, what are we doing? Let's go. Get the ball rolling.
Get the ball rolling. And there, like I said, there's so much to this. Like Houston.
We need to build our all offensive line.
We need our offensive line. And the only offensive lineman that we even managed to take in Ursary is the one that's not signed. Is it our fault? Are we the bad guy? Because we offered a fully guaranteed contract. And now he's looking at his fellow second round draft mate and going, he got one. What about me?
I think it is that is maybe...
That's the wildest
most,
part.
The most wild thing from all of that is that Houston gets the receiver, which is important. I'm not saying it's not. I mean, we don't know what's going on with Tank Dell. They've lost Stephon Diggs. The Jaden Higgins pick made a ton of sense. It is just more that they only could get the one offensive lineman. Can't ever say his last name, but he's out of Minnesota. Ursary. And that's not the guy they were able to sign. Now, of course, that ultimately comes because he's much later in the second round.
Higgins makes sense, too, because it was a trade-out because they didn't like how the first round shook out with offensive line. So they bailed.
But he's much later in the second round, so I know they're having a tough time with that. But I don't know. I just they needed help on the offensive line.
He also, oddly enough, broke
it all down.
The next offensive lineman taken after pick 32 when Kansas City took their guy.
Yeah, Josh Simmons, yeah.
But Houston clearly didn't like Simmons, bailed, picked Higgins, moved back up in the second round to take Ursary, and now it's like the one player that we knew that we could get in terms of value, because he's the next offensive lineman taken, but we can't get him signed? Why can't we get him signed? Oh, you offered a fully guaranteed contract to your other guy. We want one too.
And that's the thing is like this whole situation has put a lot of teams in a bad spot. We look at it almost solely from the Bills, but it has put so many teams in a bad situation because second round picks are still highly valuable assets.
To be in the room talking with Demetrius Knight Jr. and the Cincinnati Bengals. To be in the room or on the Zoom call or on a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to find a way to legally tap into that phone conversation.
Cincinnati may have forgotten they drafted Demetrius Knight. With everything going on with Shamar Stewart and Trey Hendrickson, they may have completely forgot. Especially because he's going to be turning 25. They may think he's already signed and been there for 3 years. They have got so many other things going on.
There's so many problems with the Bengals. They're just going to be like, oh, God, we forgot about that one.
Like, not even rudely. They just may have.
We forgot. Hang on.
But it's a lot of these teams that I do look at, and most of them would have just loved for this to be done. And now that they're approaching training camp, it's become much more serious. Saints, I think, maybe the most, though.
Saints,
anybody.
The most. Bears, probably the second most, because that's three players that you had second-round picks for, and you're able to bring in none of them because there's an entire second-round thing.
Just... I think it's going to start going soon, but I mean, we're also sitting here at almost 11:30, and there hasn't been anything since.
There's not a peep. And that's the other part of it that I think is going to drive us relatively a little local in all this.
is that we are hearing nothing. We don't even hear anything about TJ Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
About the rookies reporting. Did Sanders? We don't know. None of us know. None of us have any idea. It's also because when rookies report, media is still not allowed to be there.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you, though, I am taking the old saying of no news is good news. I think the fact that we have not really heard any report outside of Trey Harris, any report else that guys are not showing up, that they're holding out, I think probably means a lot of these guys are showing up. Now, to that point, because none of these guys have a contract, they can't be fined.
Correct.
But I think it is also a good idea for them to still show up. You can take part in meetings. You can do all that stuff. You can still get settled into your camp. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe one of the most important parts.
It's a smarter
parts.
Play for a rookie, especially to do that.
And that's where I get very nervous for Trey Harris, where he's holding out. And he's at the later end of the second round. That is probably a really bad spot to
be. And
you
are also the team that plays a game first.
Yep. That is I think they're in a bad spot, too. Most of these teams are.
Who's in the worst spot? And I think I'm going with either Chicago or Cincinnati.
You're at Chicago or Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. What's worse? A team that has not had their first two picks signed in the first and second round?
Mm-hmm.
Or a team that is missing almost half of its draft class because they had 3 second-round picks?
That's the thing. I think New Orleans probably is tanking. They're... I mean, we mentioned it with Chuck. Like, why he'd want a fully guaranteed deal is you're going to move off of me here pretty soon.
You really going to start Spencer Rattler?
Almost.
You really going to do that?
Yeah, like, almost likely you're going to move off of me next year, and I'll just be here,
Jake Haener,
sitting here. But I think you're right. It is Chicago because you had 3 second-round picks on a team that needs talent. And you've already had an issue with Luther Burden picking up an injury and not being able to participate in the earlier offseason camps. You kind of need him on the field.
You draft an offensive lineman in Trapillo. You draft a defensive tackle in Turner. These are all pieces that you need to help build your team back. A team that is already dealing with a crisis because of the fact that there was a book written where the quarterback you drafted last year was slamming the organization and then proved to be right.
Yeah.
About the coaching staff that he was worried about. And if that quarterback does not look good, and you have several players in the second round still holding out, suddenly Chicago's in disarray all over again. Welcome to the job, Ben Johnson.
That's a hell of a start. That's a hell of a start.
Here's a bunch of fires to put out.
Yeah, it's not great.
And then Cincinnati being Cincinnati is just...
Kind of feels par for the course.
They're in a different territory, though, because their first-round pick is also debating going back to school and then going back into the draft. Like, you've upset him that badly, and your second-round pick is unsigned because of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And Trey Hendrickson is also openly pissed and speaking out against you.
803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Some breaking news in the NFL.
They heard us.
We've been talking about those second-round picks. Are they going to get signed here pretty soon? And Ian Rapoport is reporting we have our next one. It is another defensive tackle, Shamar Turner of the Chicago Bears.
The Bears getting one of their 3 done and the last of the 3. This is the this is the third last pick of the second round.
Now, on that, at least from Rapoport, we don't actually have the words on – we know it's a 4-year contract, right? It's his rookie deal. We don't have yet word on what it'll actually be for the, you know, percentages. But we'll see. But now Ian Rapoport is reporting another name in the second round to get signed, defensive tackle Shamar Turner. And, Derek, as you also mentioned there too, it's one of their last guys. There's 2 more picks in the second round. He's right at the end. And he's the last defensive tackle there. Now, I think if you're the Bills, it's time to get TJ Sanders done. The two guys that broke the logjam were defensive tackles.
The defensive tackles.
You have your numbers.
But also, I'm thinking it's starting to make sense that it just becomes that because the defensive tackles are the ones reporting. Such a great position this year in the draft. They're the ones stopping the logjam.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much talent
around.
They're
the ones causing a logjam for running games.
There it is. And also, that would mean that TJ Sanders is the last defensive tackle of the entire draft class. Nope. Norman Lott, the pick after Turner, is also unsigned.
Okay.
So there's two D-tackles left. One in Kansas City and one in Buffalo. I'm okay with letting the Chiefs beat me on this one.
All right, we're fine. I mean, I'm glad we're finally getting the logjam going. I was getting worried. I'm like, are we really? No one's going to react to the one last night. No one's going to start moving.
And it's another D tackle though. Like now, it just makes more sense of Bills get it done because now I do not want to bring up that fear that I brought up on the at the end of the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely not. I don't want to have that conversation.
No, the
rest of your position is effectively done.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's left? The D-tackle that's picked right after Shamar Turner and the D-tackle that was picked two picks ahead of Alfred Collins. The two players that have signed within the last 24 hours.
So now, in a sense, I mean, you're up.
You're up.
I'm still waiting to see if we've gotten anything on how much his contract is guaranteed.
Bills
I have not
Chiefs,
seen anything yet.
Figure it out.
I've not seen anything yet, but we do know he has signed his four-year rookie contract. It's the second D-tackle in just about a 12-hour period here. And so now it's. I think this is going to start moving quick.
What the hell? I found something that is totally irrelevant to any of this conversation, but it is sports related.
Mm-hmm.
Gerard Gallant going to be a head coach at the KHL.
I thought I saw that.
What?
I thought I saw that.
All right. Interesting.
On the Shamar Turner thing, though, we were literally just talking about the Bears maybe being in the worst situation. They have 3 second round picks.
They got the third one done.
It probably also isn't that surprising, realistically, that they maybe would budge first once the first domino fell. Because, as you pointed out, we need to get these guys. This is a big part of our draft, big part of our offseason rebuild.
And now they can work upwards. Like, mm-hmm. they can, independent of the rest of the second round, work upwards in terms of how much guaranteed money is there, for example. If it comes out that Turner got a fully guaranteed contract, by the way, though, like...
I'm waiting to see what the numbers are because if it's close to what Alfred Collins got, that'd be a little surprising because there's such a discrepancy between when each were picked. But if it's a fully guaranteed contract, all of a sudden, I'll tell you right now, I don't think the logjam is cleared up at all.
No.
Then it just becomes whoever's budging first.
Now it's more infighting.
And each team becomes kind of their own entity. No one's moving together. And so that's why I'm curious where the number is. I can't even fully tell you, sitting here waiting for where he'd maybe sit. Maybe it's 65%, 70%, maybe, but it's unknown. All we know now is that it's another guy at the same position as the Bills' second-round pick in TJ Sanders. Now, again, I think it is good news that up to this point, no one outside of Trey Harris has been logged as a holdout.
Correct.
It has not been reported. He is the only one. So I assume most of these guys who have reported with their rookies, because not everyone reported together, I would imagine most of these guys then that reported with rookies did report. And that, if anything, it would be a hold-in. Now, they don't get fined because they're not under a contract, but I think it is also massively important in your rookie year that you're there at the start, you're there with team meetings, stuff like that, getting everything situated, your positional meetings, everything before practice begins. I think that's a massively important part. I think most people would agree. I think most people would. Now it just becomes who's next. I still imagine TJ Sanders has to be one of the first ones gone, and I think even more so because the defensive tackle position has been the one that is breaking the logjam. He is the first one of the second round.
Yes, and... again, it's just something to restate. The Bills, it just makes too much sense now to be next, or the Chiefs.
Especially with it being another defensive tackle.
It's
you two are
tackle.
The only ones left
but also,
that
what
have
a,
done it.
What a gem of a class.
All right. A lot of fun to research and keep up on, and then here they are doing the work. Speaking of defensive line, though, we haven't actually been able to bring it up, but this happened right around the Alfred Collins signing as well, and that is Von Miller finds his next team. It is Washington. He goes there. I think it's just a one-year deal. It's nothing crazy. Probably vet minimum or around there, but he goes to Washington. They've done a lot of revamping. We've mentioned that. They've also done a ton to help out their offensive line. Connerly was their first-round pick. Josh Connerly Jr., the offensive tackle out of Oregon. They also traded for Laremy Tunsil. I mean, we mentioned their wide receivers a lot, but they've done a good bit of work on the team as a whole.
Debo Samuel.
And now Von Miller, they bring in as likely just a pass rushing specialist. But hey, they kind of need that. That'll work. We'll see how much juice he's got left. I know there are definitely some people in Bills Mafia that believed he had some left. And even maybe argue, I mean, we took a call yesterday. Who gives you more, Von or Joey Bosa?
Right? And I do think comfortably that it is Joey Bosa, but I also don't know what it's going to take for health reasons. Both of them are dealing with injury. Bosa is kind of like a career thing where he's constantly had issues.
Mm-hmm.
Miller, it has only shown up late in his career, with a devastating one suffered with Buffalo. Though with Washington, I'm very interested in the fact that like they got veteran heavy real quick after they found a quarterback.
I think it's the way to do it.
They are going after it, recognizing it. All the more reason to be confused as to why the McLaurin situation is happening.
I think that's why, like maybe it is. So you brought it up.
It's got to be term.
Really is. He's looking at, I want a 5-year deal. No void. I want security for five or six years.
Like, it's got to be that. It's got to be term.
But then I think very quickly, and it's, you won't ever have these really go out. And because if you did, I think a lot of Washington fans would probably go, no. You're not going to hamstring the team years from now. You're 29.
It's got to be the
term.
It'd
be one thing if he was 25 years old, 26 years old, and you're like, yeah.
Okay. You grow together.
We'll grow together. You're going to be there at the early part of Daniel's career, probably not his prime.
You're not in for the back nine.
You know, this isn't – here, perfect example. Stephon Diggs gets traded to the Bills at, what, 26, 27 years old, about there.
Yep.
So the extension for him made a lot of sense. He was still in his prime. McLaurin is at the end of it.
Correct.
And it's not like he has – and that too. Allen Diggs in 1 year broke a ton of Bills passing records. McLaurin, very good receiver, but even in terms of Washington, Art Monk's number 81 jersey is getting retired this year. So it's not like McLaurin and Daniels broke records first year together, and it's Daniels' rookie year, I get it. But also being 29, it's not like there's going to be this expectation that he's all of a sudden going to become, at the end of his career, in the twilight of it, a 1,400-yard receiver. That likely won't happen. It just won't. At least based off history with turning 30 years old, very few of these guys continue to go. And McLaurin isn't somebody that is not, how do I want to put this? It's not that he does most of his career based off his physical attributes, but it's not like he's just that crisp route runner. I don't have the greatest physical tools. I just get open kind of, he's not that guy.
Right.
He's a kind of do it all, but those guys will fall quick. And even Stephon Diggs, who I'd argued had more years in him because of the kind of receiver he was. It took one injury. Now we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And he still got rewarded handsomely, though. And that's the thing, is that you don't know what's going to happen with the skill set of a player after a certain amount of time. It's got to be term with Washington and McLaurin. It has to be. I'm convinced. Like, yeah, the production thing that you brought up, but like, it's got to be the term. Plus the money. There's no way they want to hamstring themselves. Like, they want to reward McLaurin, but like, they want to do it on their terms and on their time. And it would be 4 years. Yeah, I don't.
Do you think he reports to camp?
Ooh.
He said with the media he was undecided yet.
And he heard nothing. Maybe showing up to camp means there's discussion started. Put your foot forward, try to have good faith in negotiations. And you look like the good guy after you left camp, mini camp,
mm-hmm.
and you come back to training camp, even as a hold in, it makes a lot of sense for McLaurin to show up.
I think also, though, from a negotiation tactic, being a captain and everything I've seen from Washington media, really highly respected guy in the locker room, it might actually be better for him to not show up, to really show the organization and the team, he's ticked off.
There's two sides to this where like you show your displeasure or you try to put your best foot forward for negotiations to start back up. You haven't heard from the team in a month.
Man, That the lack of communication thing always kind of boggles the mind.
It kind of is rubbing me the wrong way.
But I always wonder what caused the communication to stop. And so I do wonder, was it that McLaurin is so dead set on, I'm getting a 4-5 year deal and it's going to be big and you're going to kind of anchor this team with my contract?
Yes.
I don't care. I've earned it. I mean, because then you hear stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
But then, early years of his career, perfect example, look at Houston. Houston did everything they could receiver-wise to get C.J. Stroud the best weapons he could. His offensive line, though, was terrible.
Right.
A lot of penalties, a lot of sacks given up. The offense went down. What happens to Jaden Daniels this year, who, I mean, look at the quarterback list. Most people in the NFL that work in the NFL believe him to be a top five quarterback. But what happens if all of a sudden his best receiver is Deebo Samuel, who's in his 30s and was never a particularly good wide receiver. He was a great weapon.
But then Washington can counter back with what happened with Buffalo.
They were able to make it work with just a bunch of guys.
But a great offensive line.
And they put a lot of resources.
The NFL is a copycat league.
Yep. Trading for Laremy Tunsil, first round pick. They go tackle out of Oregon and Connerly.
Maybe. It could be. Like, the NFL is a copycat league, and the Bills have consistently been one of the best teams in the league for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they, largely because your quarterback and your offensive line are fantastic.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, Allen is in his seventh year when they try everybody eats it
right.
first. Right. Daniels is going into his second.
So they might. Right. Like, that's true, because, like, Allen had already ascended, and in his ascension, I would argue most people would say a big part of it was getting that receiver there for him in 2020.
Getting a receiver that he trusts.
And then by the end of it, it was like, okay, he's matured enough.
He's trusted now everybody at that point and himself more to where it's, yeah, you're right, but also, I like being copied.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. It does appear that the last of the positional top 10 rankings for ESPN was released today. It was the cornerbacks. And funny enough, this was, Derek, a list that I – because initially we had talked about it when James Cook came out. He was on 8, and, you know, who do you think could be in the top 10 list next year? And we had a few people bring up Christian Benford. And I said, I kind of want to wait to see – the top 10 list for corners before I put him on there. Because I thought there was maybe a good chance at least he was honorable mention or receiving votes. That is not true. He is not in the top 10. He is not in the honorable mentions. And the only Bills corner receiving votes is Taron Johnson. And he was at the towards the end of receiving votes.
And that's...
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Possibility means you have a chance. Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
be an artist,
be an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
It's even funnier because Johnson is previously an all-pro corner.
Mm-hmm.
At the nickel position. But then again, how seriously am I taking a list that has Jalen Ramsey effectively what looks like at 11th?
Yeah, this...
And Trayvon Diggs is an honorable mention.
Yeah, this list very much felt like, what's your reputation already? Okay, throw it in. And I know cornerback is a tough position to rank because it is really year by year. 1 year you get a ton of picks, ton of targets, and it's great.
Sauce Gardner's aggregate is third.
Yeah.
Or fifth, excuse me.
Yep.
His lowest ranking, though, is unranked.
Christian Gonzalez is another one. He's at sixth. His highest ranking, though, was one. His lowest ranking was unranked.
Yeah, like there's a lot of volatility in this list, and it kind of tells me nobody knows what they're doing evaluating corners.
I think it's just tough because it really is a year-by-year position of were you getting targeted or not. The stats may look great because you're not getting targeted, but it's also the same argument. Yeah, but that you're not going through the same volume of issues that other guys are going through. Patrick Surtain at one makes complete sense. He won the Defensive Player of the Year award. That makes complete sense. And to be fair, Derek Stingley Jr. at two also makes a ton of sense. He has been getting better and better since he got to Houston. But after that, it becomes a very year-to-year thing.
It's a very volatile, because also you look at the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest ranking, Denzel Ward, highest ranking two. Lowest ranking, unranked. And he comes in at third on the list.
Even McDuffie.
McDuffie falls to 10th. And then everyone else's lowest ranking is just not on the board. Yeah, I'm starting to think that nobody knows what they're doing talking about cornerbacks, and that's perfectly fine.
It's not that no one knows what they're doing. It's just it is a very volatile position. It's
volatile. It's reputation, and it's also
your scheme. It's your scheme.
It's also not. Like, Sauce Gardner is someone who's like widely known around the league.
His first 2 years were great. Third year, not so much.
But then you see that teams have him unranked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very much a combination of volatility and reputation.
Yeah.
So Christian Benford, who is neither volatile
or has a reputation. Being a sixth round pick.
Being a quiet case of successful corner. I'm not surprised at all he didn't get a vote. Not in the slightest. Taron Johnson at least has the past reputation of being a former All-Pro.
Mm-hmm. And then neither of them really have the statistics to and the blank statistics, interceptions and such, that make you go, oh, well, we have to acknowledge that guy. Because that's Trayvon Diggs' whole thing.
Yeah.
He's not a very good cover corner. He gets picks.
Yeah.
Because he's a former college receiver.
And it's just like, I don't – come on. Yeah, this one to me is like, if you're getting mad about this list, I'll do you a favor. Don't.
And then also, if you did miss it, another domino in the second round pick holdouts has fallen. It is Shamar Turner, another defensive tackle for the Bears, the first of their three second round picks. So we'll see if that continues into today.
I thought there was another.
But it did take till about 11:30 for us to get anything. We are still waiting to see if TJ Sanders is one of these first guys to fall. I think it'll happen. I don't think the Bills want to be part of the Hard Knocks documentary and become the face of second round picks still holding out, especially when there's only two more defensive tackles in round two, and it's you and Kansas City.
Hey, you know something real quick, a mini plug? We're going to be at MafiaCon on Saturday, so make sure to go out and enjoy that with us. We'll be joining Alex Brasky on that Saturday.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. This has been the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres Live coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.